We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Marloni and Fourier.
I'm actually accusing Christian Fourier of plagiarism. This is a word that was branded and created by Jessica Simpson.
By the way, has there been a more appropriate comp for the female version of Christian Fourier than Jessica Simpson?
Even when the Patriots don't play, they still win.
The dynamic Jonathan Taylor.
Five
touchdowns today for the Colts.
Tannehill fires, and it's intercepted.
Did the Pats just turn into an AFC favorite?
There is nothing fluky about this offense. There is nothing fluky about this defense.
The Patriots are the hottest team in football, and it makes me want to effing puke.
It's Lou.
Let me write that down to Mary. I'm trying to edumacate myself.
It's Christian.
A quote from Jessica Simpson.
Yes. It's Marloni and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, fourth and final hour here, Marloni and Fourier.
Yeah.
By the way, you can check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv.
I see myself right there.
/ Boston WEEI. Of course, you got the Odyssey app, favorite WEEI. You can listen to the show. We can rewind if you missed a segment. Check us out on Twitter at Marloni Fourier, and of course on Instagram now, Marloni Fourier. So building that thing up. We'll see where
we are. We're building that thing up.
All right, so a big weekend for the New England Patriots. Sort of sat back after that Thursday night football game, and you watched the Indianapolis Colts absolutely annihilate Buffalo. Like, just take their soul, basically, in this game, 41-15. Jonathan Taylor goes for, 180-something yards, 5 touchdowns. And as if that couldn't get any better, you watched Houston beat Tennessee 22-13. Both of them, both these teams are at home, and they lost these games. And that was the big, I mean, the only thing that could have been better is if Baltimore ended up losing at Chicago.
Yeah.
They came back and won that football game. But you now sit number 3 seed in the AFC. You're on top of the AFC East.
Mm.
And you didn't even play on Sunday, and things worked out beautifully.
No, it was perfect.
And now next week, you may be playing for possibly a number 1 seed with Tennessee. Of course, Baltimore's still in the mix. But
no,
one game separates you and Tennessee.
Really, like, when I think about this, even the schedule, like, now that you're at Thanksgiving you don't even have a bye week. You haven't had your official bye week yet. You're 7-4, so you played on Thursday. You got a nice long break. You play a really tough opponent you basically be fighting for the AFC crown with in Tennessee
after
they're coming off a loss at home. You're probably going to have Thursday off, which is Thanksgiving, so you're going to get some newfound energy there. Then you play the Buffalo Bills on Monday night.
You got an extra day there to get ready.
Then you have a bye week.
Then you get a bye week.
You got 4 games left.
Yeah.
So when you look at this, so you got 6 games left. Worst case scenario, you're finishing 4-2. Worst case scenario.
11-6.
11-6 would be, I would accept it. I would accept it. But based on the way you're feeling and what you're talking about, it really should be 12-5.
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I think 11-6 is safe. I think 11-6 is safe, and that's...
I would say that you should expect them to go 11-6. They just went 5-0.
Okay, I'm just saying, but now it's like Tennessee, Buffalo, Indy, Buffalo. I mean, there's of those 4 teams, right, those 3 teams you're playing, you know, other than, say, Kansas City and Baltimore, you're sort of playing some teams that you're somewhat concerned about, right, in the AFC. So you're sort of playing the iron a little bit here in the next 4 weeks. Now, you know, I watched that Buffalo game, and this was even going into that week because a lot of people talk about Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. And they had the number 1 defense, basically, in the NFL. They were number 1 against the rush. They were number 1 in points allowed. They were right up there in pass defense as far as passing goes as well. They had the best defense in football. But then you sort of sat there, and it's like, you know, even though you're 10 games deep or 9 games deep at the time, it's like, yeah, all right, they beat the Jets. They beat the Dolphins twice. The football team, the Texans. And the Kansas City Chiefs week 5, who were a complete dumpster fire. Mm. And we'll get to them in a minute. So, but it's like you lost to Jacksonville and to Pittsburgh. So it's like, you know, the point is that I'm wondering who the hell they played to earn that. I remember going into Friday and saying, okay, you'll find out if you can run against this team because Jonathan Taylor right now is the best running back in football. Let's see what he does. And he put up like a 184 and 5 touchdowns. And all of a sudden now that defense, it's like, okay, now we'll see what the Saints. Saints aren't a great offense, but it's, I don't know. I think Buffalo's the biggest fraud in the AFC out of all of them. Out of all these so-called good teams, I think Buffalo is the biggest fraud in the AFC. They cannot run the football. We had this discussion the other day, and I know Josh Allen runs the ball, but I mean,
that's the problem. He runs it too much.
Devin Singletary and Zach Moss are just, they're just not going to get it done. They just don't. They put the ball in Allen's hands, and something's wrong there offensively. And defensively, yeah. I just think they're almost like the boogeyman part one. Who they really play? And now the Patriots, by the way, have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. I just think Buffalo's a bunch of frauds.
Yeah, no, I can see how you feel that way. I look at that Tennessee game, and I would really say a lot of the games that all the losses that you were the benefit of were all there. A lot of them were outlier beatings. Like I don't think Tennessee is going to have another game where they turn the ball over five times against one of the worst teams in the league. So they turn the ball over five times against the Houston Texans. There's not a team, I don't care how good you are, that can overcome that. Like, there's no way you can do it. That's an outlier. You think they're going to have five turnovers in the game and still almost
because I heard even Mutt always said it before, too, like, throw away, like, one game. You know, we were talking about it before. Well,
worst
when it comes to the Buffalo and Tennessee, you got to throw away two now. You got to throw away, like, Tennessee. They lost to the Jets. And then they lost to the Houston Texans. Now, they had one of the most impressive runs in the league going into this game. They had won five straight against the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, the Rams, and the Saints, all playoff teams. But on the bookends of that, it was like a loss to the Jets and a loss to Houston. In Buffalo, a very similar thing. You know, last week they got pounded. A few weeks back, they lost in Jacksonville. So it's like now all of a sudden you got to start knocking off two of their games. Tennessee's another one.
You think Tennessee's a fraud?
I think they're a good football team. I think they're going to win that division. Especially, I think, with their schedule, even though they just lost to Houston. I think they could actually still, even if you beat them, still be the number one seed in the AFC. But I just don't see them representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. Now, a lot of that's to do with Derrick Henry. There's optimism that maybe he returns in January. And if he does, we can reevaluate it then. I got to see if he even comes back. But if he's not coming back, Christian, they're not winning the AFC with Ryan Tannehill.
No, I don't think they are either. And I just feel like at this point in time, it is really anybody's game. Anybody's game. And the team that is healthiest is gonna be the team at the end that represents the AFC. So think about it. So the Chiefs, they finally figure out that they have a defense and they're not playing nearly as bad as they used to. And they run off and they get four wins in a row. So they're not even playing that well. So Josh Allen, I guess he sucks again. Like he used to be good, now he sucks again. But Ben Roethlisberger, looks like he hurt his toe. He's not the same guy. They just lost to the Chargers. Cincinnati with Joe Mixon, there's another team. The Cincinnati Bengals are another team that, if you look at Joe Burrow, similar numbers to Mac. They rely on their run game. And since he's been going again, Joe Mixon and that team, they could be some trouble. The L.A. Chargers, teams that took some lumps earlier in the year.
Herbert can't beat you.
You don't think so?
It's two of the worst games.
I don't know. But it's just, I don't think that it's a team that you should just write off.
Well, yeah.
I think you should write off the Browns. I think you should write off the Steelers. I think you should write off the Raiders.
Were you writing off the Buffalo Bills?
No, I'm not writing off the Buffalo Bills. No, I said no. Teams I think are real frauds that we're finding out, at least for right now. The Browns are frauds.
See,
The Raiders are frauds.
Yes. Rex Ryan was actually asked talking about the Buffalo Bills. I want to play this. Our boy Rexy.
The Bills can whip any finesse team.
Yeah, you're right.
But they struggle against the teams that'll bludgeon you.
Tennessee.
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Baltimore. All those teams. The bad thing is they're all in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so until you show us, you know when you got to show us?
Yeah.
When you play New England. Because they're going to try to bloody your nose too. If you can make a team one-dimensional, it is so much easier to play defense.
Yeah, right.
All right, to the point where I used to play against some of the best offenses in the league, some of the best quarterbacks in the league. And instead of saying, I'm going to make you run, no, I'm going to put everybody up there to make you pass.
Right.
And
yeah.
why? Because we can tee off on your quarterback. We can play all the coverages we want. We can mix everything known to man.
But they're doing it themselves.
But they're doing it themselves, and that kills this team.
Yeah, see, I don't believe in them. When I say they're frauds, it's
the Bills.
The Bills. It's because I put them in the upper class of the AFC. Like, I put them with, say, Kansas City, Baltimore, Tennessee, Buffalo. Like, the upper class. To me, there's a couple of tiers, right? And I put them in that upper tier. And of those teams, I think they're the biggest fraud out of all of them. And then the group you're talking about is, like, that next, we'll find out if they're the sixth or seventh seed, like Cincinnati's. You know, the Chargers, you know, Vegas, Denver, whatever, wherever you want to go, Indianapolis. I think Indy might be the best of that group. You know what I mean? So I just sort of separate the two. Maybe I should put Buffalo in that category. I don't know. They're 6-4 like Cincinnati. They're 6-4 like the Chargers. Maybe I should put them in that category.
Yeah, but when I think about that, I go, okay, I think about
like AFC contenders. That's all. And I think Buffalo's one of them.
If you were going to pick your four finalists in the AFC, who would it be?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right now, I mean, I put New England in there. But even like 2 weeks ago, it was easy. It was Buffalo. It was Tennessee. It was Baltimore. And I think people would still do Kansas City even a week or two ago.
So
I don't know, maybe not.
If I was going to do it right now, it would be Kansas City, New England. It would be Final Four now. It would be Baltimore. I think Baltimore is still dangerous. And that fourth one, to me, is difficult because it would be between Tennessee and the Bills.
Yeah. So, okay, Patriot fans, 617-779-7937. Which team do you fear the most? Because for me, it's obvious. It's Kansas City. And you know, it's not that, you know, offensively, I think they've got it all figured out. But defensively, you know, they're getting better. And I said this 2 weeks ago. I'm like, you should still worry about them when they're 4-4. And I said on Friday, once they beat Dallas, you know, which I thought they would have, then we're going to be talking on Monday how they're a dangerous team and a player again. Everybody wanted to just bury them. And I don't know if locally you wanted to bury them because you didn't want them to be a dynasty, you know, because that's what you do. But that team to me, defensively, and I know that Amari Cooper wasn't there, but Dak Prescott, like early in the game, first half, CeeDee Lamb was there in the first half. They couldn't do anything. Defensively, every single completion was contested. Or broken up. He had to be perfect, and he wasn't good in that game. But that defense showed up. And I'm sorry, that offense is going to as well. As bad as that offense is right now, they're still leading the league in yards. They're still leading the league in first downs. And they haven't even played close to what they're capable of. To me, it's easy. My answer would be Kansas City Chiefs are the most feared, dangerous team in the AFC.
Yeah, and I wonder why you're just excluding Baltimore. Is it because of their inability to win games in the postseason? Is it because Lamar Jackson didn't even play in that game and they beat the Bears, albeit like a stupid defensive play by the Bears, but they still beat the Bears?
Yeah, if Dalton played quarterback, they would have lost.
Here's the key:
the whole game,
everybody's just collecting wins. That's all you do. Just it doesn't matter how it looks, what it looks like, what it feels like afterwards. If it's a win, collect it.
That was a good win by Baltimore.
Yes, it was a huge win.
Like it was almost like one of those, like, it doesn't matter how you do it. You just need to beat the Bears. And you lost Lamar Jackson pregame. You know, you thought he was going to play. Maybe they knew earlier. I don't know. But just to get out of there with a W, was especially the way it ended. Like, that's a dogfight. That's a game that Buffalo couldn't pull out down in Jacksonville. That's a game that Tennessee just week couldn't pull out against Houston. And they pulled it out.
See, the teams that will be there in the end, I'll let you grab these cards because everybody's scared today. The teams that will be there in the end, if you're thinking about the four teams, start with the coaches, start with the upper management, start with ownership. And all the teams that we're talking about have all four of those, all three of those things.
I would put the Ravens second, like behind the Chiefs. I'd still put them there, like second. You know what I mean? As far as teams you fear, quite frankly, I might put Indianapolis third.
The reason you don't fear Tennessee, and then Buffalo. The reason you don't fear Tennessee nearly as much as we used to, or anybody would, because Derrick Henry is not playing.
If Derrick Henry,
totally different situation.
Listen, if they get the bye, and Derrick Henry gets a week or two to work out and comes back, then yes, I will be concerned with Tennessee. Which brings you to another thing. Very, very to me. Now you want to get greedy, given where you are in the standings. You want, obviously, you want that buy. Everybody wants to buy, and it's actually, there's a chance it could happen, which is amazing given how this team started. But if you don't get the buy, you want to be the second or third seed, correct? Like, I don't want to be the fourth or fifth seed. Like, there could be an upset, but there's only one team has a buy. That team has an enormous advantage in that first week they play, right? Enormous advantage. They don't play. They just sit around.
So right now, the one team that has that right now with the greatest opportunity to keep it is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and if they have the easiest remaining schedule.
And if the Titans are the number one seed, it's important for you to be the second or third and let somebody else play them on a buy. I don't think you want any part of that. Let's go. Teams you fear the most. Let's go to Justin. Justin in Providence. What's up, Justin?
What's up, boys? Real quick, I guess the team I fear the most, I guess it'd be the Chiefs. Strictly because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
Then look at the Patriots. Look how well-balanced these guys are playing right now. I don't care if it was a scrub team Atlanta last week. Look at the defense, man. You got Kyle Duggar is not getting enough props. That guy's playing out of his mind. You know, and another little thing, Christian Barmore, the guy was on Matt Ryan's lap all game. Now, what are the Lions going to do? You're going to have to double cover that guy, or he's going to get by you every time. So I think Belichick has got Tennessee Titans circled. I'm not scared of that team at all this week coming up. You got no Julio Jones, no King Henry, and Tannehill, he's playing all right, you know. But I think the players have got that Buffalo. I think that Buffalo game is circled for the players, boy. We go to Buffalo. If we can handle business and then you get your bye week, man, I'm telling you, man, I wouldn't be surprised if this team goes 5-1 and we drop it to Miami the last week of the season, man. But I'm not scared at all, and I don't think these players are at all, man. You got Trent Brown back, blocking up for Mac Jones. You got,
yep, got them all.
Good running back, man. I'm chilling.
And thanks for the call, Justin. I agree. And
by the way, didn't
A.J. Brown come out of that game as well? Tennessee?
Ribs issue, yes.
Yeah, he came out even play like in the second half, I don't think.
He's been banged up all year.
So he's been banged up all year.
And their second wide receiver is someone named Nick Westbrook Ilikina.
Yeah, and he had a good game.
Good player from Indiana, of course.
Yeah, he had a good game, but I mean, I just.
ECLU.
They might come in here on Sunday at 1 o'clock with no Derrick Henry, no Julio Jones, and a banged up, possibly no A.J. Brown. And you're going to be worried about that team?
Well, maybe not at the moment.
Not
but again,
moment.
They still have a lead, and again, think of how much has changed over the last 5 weeks. There's what? They got six games. 7 weeks left in this season. Seven!
It's a lot.
So much.
Let me go to Matt. Change. Matt in the car. Matt, what's up? Who do you fear?
Lou, you're making me sound like a moron, but Christian sees my genius. It's not the Titans next week. If you got to face the Titans in the playoffs, Mike Vrabel knows Bill Belichick, can out-coach Bill Belichick. And all of these players get to be eerily similar skill sets when you get to the playoffs. It's going to come down to one or two plays. Are you afraid of Andy Reid or Mike Vrabel?
Well, they both beat
me. Well, yeah, I was going to say both of them. I'm a little worried about both of them because Andy Reid's got the quarterback. And I get it. Mike Vrabel's 2-0 against you. So it was actually in 2018, the first year they played, the year you won the Super Bowl. You went in there 7-2. They were 4-4, and they beat you. You know, and then the following year they beat you as well in the playoffs. That was Brady's last game here. So that worries me. But he had Derrick Henry both times, right?
Yes.
So I mean it sort of changes.
No,
things.
The team that here's a team that most people should be fearful of is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Because if they God bless them if they figure it out, cuz Patrick Mahomes has had a horrible first half of the season. Tons of interceptions. Like, so much is, like, they're questioning, you know, Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator. Like, he can't do it anymore. Andy Reid's the only guy who was like, man, he'll figure it out. And sure enough, and he's still not playing great. He still hasn't really hit his mark. The week before he played the Cowboys, forgot who the game was, had a great game. It was against the Raiders, I think. I can't remember, but played great. And that's when everyone's like, oh, he's back. Had a great first half. Against the Cowboys, and not so much second half. But he still turned it over once. I mean, no, it wasn't even his fault because, what's his face, Travis Kelce had the ball and then just got it taken away from him.
So that's the thing with the Chiefs. And I think defensively, and I know that, you know, Dak didn't have everybody. But when I look at the Chiefs and I say, we all look at their first 11 games, they're now 7-4 like you, and you say, okay, it hasn't clicked yet. Yet they're second in yards per game. And they're second in passing yards per game. and their quarterback, you're wondering what's wrong with him. Like, that just tells you how good he is. They're second in the league in passing yards per game behind Brady, and they're second in the league, I think, or maybe third in the league in yards per game, and you're wondering what's wrong with the quarterback. Like, all it needs is, like, a flip it for 2 or 3 weeks. They now have their running back back. And he's not Derrick Henry or Jonathan Taylor, but he is their running back that they run through. So, their offense, okay, we'll see if it kind of clicks
If I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, I would not expect Derrick Henry to return.
I wouldn't either.
He's got a foot injury that they're going to hurry up and rush back. I'm not seeing it happen.
All right, let's go to Matt Walpole. Matt, what's going on? You're on with Lou and Christian.
I think that the team to really fear is actually Baltimore. I'm not terribly worried about the Chiefs, to be completely honest with you. I think that Bill Belichick has kind of figured it out, and we saw that last year when we, kept a competitive game with the Chiefs with a worse defense and Brian Hoyer at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that Baltimore is the team that can, I think Harbaugh is able to pretty much figure it out versus us pretty, like, most of the time, realistically. And I think Lamar is too dynamic to really pin down and keep quiet. I think that if there's a team to fear, it's going to be Baltimore.
Well, Matt, the one thing about the Ravens, and I tend to agree, I still put them second behind the Chiefs, but that's a team we've always said. Never comes in here. It's never intimidated. Of course, Brady's not here anymore, but they were never intimidated. And I think right now they're second in the league against the run. So it's sort of like, okay, what do you do best? Tampa's number one. I think Baltimore's two. New Orleans is three as far as against the run goes. And we know what it looked like. We know New Orleans and Tampa, very good run defense. And Baltimore's third, or second, rather. So that's what you do best.
So I'm thinking about the Titans. They have, what, 2, 4, so they got 6 games left. And right now, they have the easiest path to getting that first round bye.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they can hold up. Like, they've won a lot of close games. Even all those 5 games that they won, that's 5 games in a row that they won against playoff teams or teams that had a playoff, had a above 500. They were all close. Buffalo was close. Like, a ton of them were. Indianapolis was close. They squeaked by. They squeak by a lot of these games, and I'm wondering, the Jaguars should be a pushover. That's a win. The Texans, when they play them again, should be a pushover. And the Dolphins, so that's 3 wins right there. They would need to lose at least 4 games for you to have a chance to catch them.
They have, first off, they have the second easiest schedule left in the NFL. And you say hold up. Are you talking about health? Because they're also 2 players away from, I think, breaking the record. They have 80. They've gone through 82 players. Like, 84 is the record. They still have 6 games to go. Then you're 2 injuries away from breaking the record as far as injured players go. But again, the second easiest schedule remaining. That's why I say even if you beat them, they still kind of, strangely enough, have an inside track. Now, you have it in front of you. You can go undefeated and finish it off. But after you, they have a bye week. And then it's Jacksonville. They got the Steelers at Pittsburgh. They got the Niners at home. They got the Dolphins. And then they're at Houston, where they just lost to. But, you talk about the toughest schedules remaining. The toughest schedules remaining are Cleveland's the toughest schedule left, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Vegas, Kansas City. All 6 AFC teams have the toughest schedule remaining. Meanwhile, Tennessee, the 31st toughest schedule, the second easiest schedule in the NFL.
So real quickly, before you go to the next one, I just want to read this because you mentioned this. Because this tells you how good of a coach Mike Vrabel is. So, 82 different players on their active roster this season. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
The full season record is 84.
Yeah.
Only 5 other teams in history have used 80-plus players in a season. The combined record for those teams, 18-61-1. The Titans are 8-2.
Yeah.
8-2 despite all those new faces coming in. It's crazy.
Yeah, 8-3 now. 8-3. Let's go to Brock in Middleborough. Brock, interesting comment. Go ahead, Brock.
How's it going?
Good.
So, let's see. Baltimore, Kansas City, the Bills, the Titans. Those are good teams. We're supposed to be worried about them, so I'm worried about them. But the team I'm the most worried about is easily going to be the Dolphins. Because if there's one team left on the schedule that's set up to be supposedly a non-competitive game that should be a win, that's going to take you either out of the number one spot or the number two spot, or really throw things out of whack where, call it a trap game, call it whatever, but there's no other team set up better to spoil the Patriots than the Dolphins. So I don't know why people aren't worried about that. They're going to have nothing to play for other than spoiler. And the idea that they're not going to do everything they can the last week of the season against the Patriots is that has to be part of the conversation, because you could win the rest of the games, lose against the Dolphins, and be the number two spot. And yeah, that's the difference between the bye. And that's why I'm the most scared about that. I'm the most scared about the Dolphins, because I'm supposed to be kind of scared about all the other good teams because they're the other good teams.
All right. But yeah, Brock, it's a good point.
The scariest team is the worst team left.
No, but listen, it's
they're not
the worst team. Thank you. Yeah, we all know
they beat
that
you.
Last game in Miami is always an interesting game, no matter how bad they are, no matter how good you are. But I disagree. If you win every single, if you go 5-1, you won losses to the Dolphins, you're still the number one seed, I would think.
Well, the fact is that the Dolphins are 4-1.
I mean, if you beat Buffalo twice, if you beat Tennessee and Buffalo twice, I guess we have to wait and see what Baltimore does, but I got to believe you're the number one seed if that happens. All right, listen, we continue to take your phone calls. You guys are lined up, and the team you're scared of the most, 617-779-7937. But it was Resurrection Day down in Carolina, and O.J. Simpson's talking about your quarterback. You can't believe what he's saying. We'll do it next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So Cam Newton is back in the NFL. He started for the Carolina Panthers against Washington. Now, they lost this game 27-21, but I'll say this. I thought he was impressive. I thought he did a good game.
Yeah, played well. Played good.
And, honestly, I have no ill will towards Cam Newton. I'm glad he's playing well. I'm glad he had a good game.
He had a 22-yard touchdown run.
That run was impressive. And the first pass, that touchdown pass to McCaffrey was, I thought, very impressive.
Yeah, he was 21 for 27, 189 yards.
Yeah, no, I thought
his QB rating was 120.5. How about that?
Yeah, no, he was impressive.
Pretty excellent. Now, do you miss him, though, here? Be honest.
No, I'm good. I'm good because of what we've seen from Mac Jones. Yeah, absolutely 100% good. But I liked him. You know, I liked his interviews. I thought he was good, fine. You know, all these other things. I thought there was some fraudulence to him.
There's a lot of fraudulence
but
to him.
He's down in Carolina. He plays well the rest of the year. I mean, I think if anything, some other teams might sit there and say, maybe we could have used him. I think it's a good fit down there, but if he plays well, I wanted him to play this year with this Patriots team, partly because I wanted closure. I wanted to find out if he's any good or not. I wanted to see if he continues to throw one hoppers and overthrow everybody. And for one game, he went out there and I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah. Listen, I don't wish him ill will. I just feel like as far as frauds go, he's one of the biggest ones there is.
Well, he had that touchdown run, and he ran, I don't know what it was, 20-something yard touchdown run. And it was an impressive run. But like the last week when he scored that first touchdown and he's just, the helmet came off.
I'm back.
Took a 15-yard penalty. Didn't talk to any of his teammates whatsoever who wanted to celebrate him. And it was coming off a day where Jacoby Myers had the whole team basically empty the bench and celebrate with him. He was all by himself. After this touchdown run, he sprinted to midfield. Like he just turned around and sprinted to midfield. All by himself, because that's part of it too. It still is all about Cam, I guess. But all by himself and just slammed the ball and left it, whatever, midfield. And it was sort of like, okay, what's the meaning of that?
Yeah, you usually give the ball to the fans, and then he makes a U-turn and sprints to the middle of the field, throws the ball on the ground, and then like puts his hand up in the air.
Well, sort of like, yeah, what's he doing? You know, what is he doing this for? Well, after the game, he talked about why he ran to midfield after that touchdown run.
Yeah, today was a special day for me for more reasons than one. It was my resurrection day. I'm not sure if a lot of people know. November 21st is a very special day for me. I took a big L in my life, I feel like, but it was a big scar that ended up being my biggest star. I was incarcerated today when I was in the University of Florida. This day is always significant of where I've came from. I mean, I was just going to enjoy the moment. Still am going to enjoy the moment. I think, you know, my life could be who knows where right now, you know, if the judge ruled the way she did. Man, God has favor over my life, and that's the big picture. But the realization of things that you can control, I'm enjoying the moment. I have to be better.
So it's resurrection day down in Carolina.
He's so preachy. He's so preachy. I can't stand it. So he's referencing a time when he was a freshman at the University of Florida, and he stole another student's laptop, a $1,700 laptop.
Like Clay Buchholz in JUCO.
Yeah, like so. And back then, back when he did this, I mean, that $1,700 laptop was like this is back in 2008.
Yeah.
So imagine what a $1,700 Apple laptop would get you. I call BS. I call such BS. You're telling me that it was just a coincidence, as luck would have it, the same day that you were thrown in jail for stealing. And the story behind how we tried to get rid of it is classic, okay? The dude was caught red-handed and then just basically just took the computer when the cops came to his dorm room and just threw it out the window. I had no computer. Threw it out the window. And then, to make matters worse, when he stole the computer, he logged in to his university, the university website, with his username. So it was obvious who stole the computer. So fine. So something that happened to you way back in 2008 when you were a freshman in college had such an impactful part on your life that you had to sprint in the middle of the field and put the... It's not like you had a near-death experience, right?
November 21st.
Huh. A near-death... Was I was just looking like, die?
I know. Last year, they played the Texans, but it was November 22nd, right? Year earlier, whatever. So I don't know, seven years or so, he can celebrate on this day when he plays football.
It was my resurrection day.
Did he do this 7 years ago when he played in Carolina?
Nothing about this guy is authentic. Everything is fake. Everything is bull crap. Everything is everything's about him and his self-worth and his self-promotion and what's important to him.
So he's excusing a selfish act of going to midfield to make it all about him by saying, hey, I had another selfish act in 2008 when I stole a laptop.
Does anybody else call BS on him ever? Like, did you see the way he... Did anyone see the entrance? I just showed it on TV real quick. How he came out with the fog?
Yeah.
It's like WWE
Did you hear
wrestling.
The song that they played?
Was it I'm Back?
No, I'm Coming Home.
The slow version?
Yes. They were just playing it slowly after like the scream. Oh, Cam Newton. Yeah.
I think his teammates have got to be so just tired of him. They got to be so sick of him. Right?
I would think so. I think they have liked it, you know, because they've talked about after the first day. It was just like, you know, it was energy that he brings.
I don't believe anything he's saying because he runs out to the middle of the field and he does his Superman pose. He doesn't sit there and take a knee and then put a hand up in the sky and pray. He does the whole look at me. There's an S on my chest. And I don't believe it. If anyone believes what he's selling, you're the biggest suckers there are.
I have to be better.
You're just a bunch of
Didn't
suckers.
You start the segment talking about how much you like the guy and all that.
I'm fine. It's like he makes me hate him. For like for any success that he gets because he's such a fraud.
You don't have any ill will. I don't hear him. I just hate him.
Because he's fake. Because his reasons are fake. So listen, okay, let me just build the legend more about my comeback. Let me tell you how cool I am and how I've learned my lesson in life. When we first saw this, we thought he was talking about when he got in a car wreck,
right?
And he almost died. But that was during the offseason.
That would make sense. Literally resurrected him because I thought he was dead.
So you do something stupid when you're 18 years old and you think, but you stole a computer. You stole in college.
You threw like, some rabbits off the roof.
Like, that was like the most impactful part of your life, stealing some stupid computer when you were a freshman in college. That changed your life forever? I mean, what do we think about this, Lou? You didn't almost get jumped. You almost think no one held a gun to your head. You almost died. You weren't selling drugs. You stole a computer in college. And then you've been thinking about it your whole life.
Resurrection.
Like, this is the resurrection? Nobody else calls BS on this?
Is this the first time he's ever played? November 21st? Like, I was trying to go back and look, and maybe it's amazing. Was. I don't know.
Who cares?
I mean, it really is amazing.
It's
a computer.
I want to get John's thoughts here from Norton on Cam Newton's resurrection day. John, go ahead.
Hey, guys. One of the things that I think has gone a little bit overlooked this season is the past few years, Bill Belichick, the GM, has gotten the crap kicked out of him in the city. And I think he should get some credit this year for what he's done, both in the draft. If you look at between Mac Jones and Barmore and Stevenson, I can't remember the last time. It's probably been 8-plus years since he's had a draft. We said three rookies in their rookie season that have contributed. And he did get a lot of free agents, but he's hit between Judon and, a few of these other guys. He's really hit, and I think Belichick, the GM, deserves some credit.
He is, John.
He really does.
He is. What, you don't think people are? That's all.
I haven't heard as much. Well, then you got to do it.
Well, listen, I'm sorry. You know, we don't bring it up every day, but we usually bring it up on Mondays when a guy like Christian Barmore does what he does, or Ramondre Stevenson does what he does, or Mac Jones. It's been a running theme for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks now, given what some of these free agents and draft classes have done. I think we had a segment on, is he executive of the year? I mean, I think it's fun. We said before, the FU revenge tour is kind of underway here for Bill Belichick. Because there were 4 or 5 years where the draft was horrendous. Mm.
It's Bill's resurrection.
Bill's
tour.
Resurrection tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, this year. A little FU tour.
Yeah. I can't take it anymore. So he did leave. He went to a junior college, wins the national championship.
Cam Newton.
He wins the national championship.
Wait,
goes
Bill?
To Auburn. No, Cam Newton. goes to Auburn the next year, wins the national championship.
That's also resurrected.
And then also wins the Heisman Trophy. You would think.
Resurrected. First pick overall, resurrected.
I cannot believe people are buying this crap. They're buying this. Please, so why does anybody call him out?
It's too good of a story. It's a good feel-good story.
Here's the other thing. Look at all his teammates are running away from him.
Yeah.
He's all by himself.
Oh, yeah. Listen, he could have been a criminal. Who knows what happened?
It was a special day for me for more reasons than one. It was my resurrection day.
Yeah, it's like a gateway drug. You start with stealing computers.
Yeah.
Then it's cars. Then it's banks.
Well, it's resurrection day. Listen, he was a criminal. Speaking of criminals, O.J. Simpson. He had some interesting words about your starting quarterback, Mac Jones. We'll do that next, as well as Last Call.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, DMF is brought to you by Audi of Norwell. That was this hour. It's 5 o'clock hours brought to you. What's up for you?
Finish. Do your read.
No, I'm done.
Is it brought to you by Cam? Did Cam Newton tell you that it's brought to you by, because it's Resurrection Day?
He's still fired
How
up.
How sanctimonious is this guy?
All break long, by the way.
He's so sanctimonious. He's just, like, everything you hear from him is me, I, it's never we, us, never. It's only about him. Like, he's totally just got, everyone's got a hook in their mouth. Everyone. He's a hustler. He'd be a great used car salesman. Because he can force you to believe Everything that he's selling you. I'm a good guy. I do things the right way. I learned my lesson. Can you imagine if I brought back some old crap, stupid stuff that I did back when I was in college?
What was the day you threw the rabbit out of the high rise?
It was November 21st.
It was, you know what? This is my resurrection day.
Wait. I got to go to Donna.
Stole rabbits from
Let me go to Donna and stone him real quick before we get the last call because she thinks you're being a little bit too hard on Cam. Donna?
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, how are you? I just want to say, Christian, you're a little bit, I know he's in love with himself and all of that, but I think you're too hard. Why is it that you find it so hard to believe that he's in a place in his life where he's actually looking back and thinking, especially where he barely made it back to the, you know. To
Donna,
the football,
this happened in 2008,
field.
Donna. There's been
reflection.
Other. Oh my God! He's because you're. You know what, Donna? You're hook, line, and sinker. Where's your?
No, I'm not.
You're
no,
a sucker.
I can look at it.
No,
I can look at it objectively.
No, you can.
He's at the end of his career and he's looking back. He got this one chance to get back on the field.
Donna, he had Resurrection Day the very next year when he won a national championship at junior college, and then the Heisman Trophy in a national championship. The very next year after that, then he got drafted number one overall. You don't think he was looking back at that and saying the same thing? He wants everyone to believe he's this, you know, self-righteous, you know, holier than thou. Look how thoughtful I am and how provocative everything I do in my life is. Like, I'm cool. Like, Donna, don't take the bait, Donna. Don't take the bait, Donna.
But there's a piece of him, I think, at this age and this stage of his life where that moment in time, back when he was in college, how the direction could have changed. He probably looked back
it's a
at
It's
that
a gateway
now.
Crime. Yeah, stealing computers when you're 18 years old is a gateway
matter.
Crime, Donna.
Thanks, Donna. You know what? Maybe he's being too hard on you.
No,
you're
happy
Donna.
For him.
I am. I'm happy
you.
For him.
You played a good game.
Is anybody else buying
no
this bull crap?
You have no heart for it.
Every the last two games
no
he's
heart.
Played in. It's all been about him. I'm back. The entrance with the smoke,
he's
and they force him to. They play this stupid song. He scores a touchdown. He sprints to the middle of the field.
Well, he's really happy.
Oh my god!
Where do you think he can see the most
right.
fans? It's from the center point
middle
of the field.
Field.
All right, let's get the last call, shall we? Last call brought to you by Cars
I feel bad.
For
was
Kids.
I mean to Donna?
No, she was
terrible.
The easy way to donate your car, you can donate
you
today.
You called her a sucker.
And your car can be picked up tomorrow.
I said, don't be a sucker.
All right, let me finish this. Go to carsforkids.com. We'll give him a call at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. As I mentioned before, our guy, OJ, right? Speaking of criminals and Resurrection Day.
Yeah. What about him?
OJ Simpson chimed in on
hey,
young
Twitter world.
Mac Jones. This is what he had to say about him.
But in watching that game, something came to me.
Oh,
in
no.
the beginning of the game, the announcer mentioned that Mac Jones had completed four of his first five passes to four different receivers. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's Brady and Montana-like. But Matt has a habit of locking on a receiver and throwing, you know, 80% of the passes, either Cooper Kupp and sometimes it's Robert Woods. But this Mac Jones is moving it around. And I'm seeing how hot they are. And I'm thinking,
around.
Jesus, they've already won seven games now. They have six games to go, albeit four of them against two against the Bills. Ooh, don't like that. One against Tennessee and one against the Colts. If they win half those games, that's 10 wins.
Hmm.
And it's going to be because of Mac Jones. So the point I'm making is MVP. Mac Jones, I think, pretty much is wrapped up Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Huh.
But the MVP of the league is not just statistics. It's about who's the most important player in the league to their team, especially if this New England teams go to the playoffs and win a playoff game. You got to start talking about Mac Jones as MVP.
That's pretty good analysis by OJ.
Jones.
Well, who's going to be first to hire OJ as an NFL analyst?
Oh,
you know it's going to happen.
I don't know if he's a lock to win Rookie of the Year.
You're not answering my question.
No, no one.
Wait, you don't want Gresh Keefe, OJ, and Wiggy on Sunday before the game?
MVP?
Sunday pregame show.
MVP?
No, well, Jonathan Taylor, Tom Brady. I mean, put those two in front of him right now.
I mean,
those are the two guys I'd put in front of him right now.
Do we have to rattle off the guys that are in front of Mac Jones for MVP of the league? We got to get off the air.
You're just saying.
I mean,
I want
MVP,
more of OJ, even though I hate him. I feel like someone's going to end up hiring him.
And I also got to bring this back, too, because it was a year ago.
It was my Resurrection Day?
No, not Resurrection Day. Mayor Marty Walsh. Just to kind of give you a sense of where we were at last year with Thanksgiving coming up, this was your mayor.
We don't want to do this, but as the holidays go on, people are going to call 911, police are going to show up if they get called to a scene, and they're going to be notifying inspection service that are going to come out and be finding landlords and tenants, quite honestly, if this gets to the point where we have to do that.
He's talking about gatherings for Thanksgiving. If you gather, it's going to be called 911.
What a crazy, imagine what a having crazy
like,
civic duty.
Imagine Mac Jones having like just a plate of potatoes. And two chocolate chips because he doesn't like
side of turkey.
Because yeah, because he doesn't really like pie. Anything else. The next thing you know, the cops show up and arrest you because you got your family together.
No pie.
All right. Listen, tomorrow what do we got? We got Ben Volen coming in, right? Big Ben.
Trolling Volen.
So we're gonna do that. We got.
And since we're a day ahead, I guess we're gonna get more into Tennessee.
Celts. More into Tennessee.
And we got a game tonight.
More in Tennessee. Celts. Jalen Brown back in there. Minute limits.
And Josh Richardson is officially out with that non-COVID illness.
I saw that non-COVID. Okay, 24 minutes for Jalen Brown tonight. 4 6-minute bursts.
That's weird that he's telling the other coach how I will play Jalen Brown. Very bizarre.
I would say so too. Schroeder back on the bench with Jalen Brown back in the starting lineup. We'll have some thoughts on that game tomorrow. Yeah, and we'll check out Cantor's shoes as well. All right, we'll catch you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanksgiving feast on WEEI. Game 1, Bears and Lions. Game 2, Raiders and Cowboys. Game 3, Bills and Saints. It all kicks off Thursday at noon.
This is Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Catch all the NFL primetime action exclusively on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.